Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode.
Mason, welcome to The Antidote. What's been keeping you busy, man?
At the time of this recording, it's about 5 degrees outside. So what's been keeping me busy is actually like staying warm, making sure that I've got a 5-month-old baby girl. And she's never seen snow, obviously. She's only 5 months old. So just like bundling her up, making sure that everybody's safe and warm and trying to stay off the roads a little bit. So that's personal. And then professional, I'm just like knee deep in all the process documentation. I'm trying to build a bunch of playbooks that some ABMers can come and steal so they can run some scrappy ABM programs. So in the process of making everything very detailed, very beautifully designed, hopefully, and then hoping to launch those in the next couple months so that we can get them out and start helping people out.
Nice, man. I'm going to ask you about that later and where people can find that at the end. But it sounds like you're a busy guy, and I know what it's like running a business and learning how to be a parent. It's not easy. So hats off to you, mate. Okay. So look, first question, everyone's got big challenge they're trying to solve. We call this their poison. And what we want to try and give listeners is an antidote. What's the big challenge you're on a mission to solve?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying our conversation because I think that obviously ReachDesk is a technology that is heavily associated with ABM. And a lot of what I'm trying to help people do is get started with account-based marketing. And one of my value propositions is like account-based marketing for revenue teams without the $200K tech stack. Like that is kind of the synopsis. And some people think that I'm like anti-tech because of that's the value proposition. And I'm not. What I do is very hard and it doesn't scale until you put in place the right tools. So like where I'm really focused is if you think about ABM, everybody talks about the crawl, walk, run approach. I'm trying to become the vendor of choice that helps people build a crawl program for their account-based marketing program, get the right foundation in place, get them set up for success with the right playbooks. And then when they're ready, they can go buy the right technology to start scaling it up. So the problem that I'm solving is like, how do you crawl effectively? How do you set the right foundation so that when you go to scale, it doesn't just break everything, but you've actually got a program that can run sustainably.
Oh, mate. So I've been there before in a previous company. I remember going to like a conference and coming back and like, we got to do ABM. And we went really fast at it. We bought everything and it was a disaster. Now, I'm just one example. You've obviously started a business because you see a big problem and it's quite a widespread one. Why do we end up in this situation? Like, why do we get to a point where everyone's trying to go buying loads of stuff, over-investing before the process is even built out?
Yeah, I mean, and you experience this. I'm fairly confident people are coming to buy ReachDesk to some extent of, you know, ABM is one of the only marketing strategies that I know of where people use the exact language of I need to go buy ABM. So they think that if they buy this technology, it's going to be the silver bullet that, again, we buy it, we put it in place, we just press go, and then suddenly we've got great pipeline with our best fit customers that are just dying to buy from us. Like nobody says they're going to go buy inbound. That I'm not going to go buy outbound. Like that's not a thing that we talk about, but I have heard verbatim, I'm going to buy ABM. And I think, again, in large part, it's been marketed as a silver bullet solution. So again, we buy the technology, we set it up, we press go, we're good to go. And the reality is most people didn't have the right foundations. And what I've actually really appreciated about a lot of ABM tech vendors as of late, like my third largest lead source is actually tech vendors that have clients that are coming through the sales process and aren't ready. I think there's been recognition from a lot of our tech vendors that are at that scale stage of like, you're not ready for ABM. Like, let's pass you to somebody that can get you set up. So I think we're going to see less and less of it, but that doesn't solve, by people not buying the technology in the first place, they haven't solved the core challenge, which is I don't have the right foundation. I don't have the right people. I don't have the right processes. I've got to figure out the fundamentals of ABM before I can scale it up.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about Scrappy ABM, you know, the business that, that you have essentially founded, right? What are the big things that you're talking to companies at the beginning? It sounds like you're really focusing on the process. Do you have playbooks mapped out? Do you see common things that companies are doing? And you're like, oh, this is actually quite easy. I'm not asking you to give everyone listening your playbooks because I want them to come to
you.
I
will.
but like, what are you seeing, man?
So the core challenge for so many of these organizations is the classic case of sales and marketing alignment. And I don't want to harp too long on that because I feel like everybody talks about it. But again, if you look at the data-driven reasons for why ABM fails, the number one reason is that sales and marketing aren't aligned. So again, marketing thinks about building this ABM program. They go spend 3, 4, 5 months developing all of the operations around it. They develop the content. They build all the tracking and they build the campaign in their MarTech stack. And then they go to sales and they're like, hey, we want to launch an ABM program. Like, are you guys bought in? They're like, what are you talking? Like, I've got other stuff that I'm doing. I'm busy. And depending on your marketing team and your marketing program, they may not have delivered significant pipeline previously. So again, if you're asking sales to now take time away from their day that they have repeatable processes that they're using, that they have full control over, you're asking your sales team to give up a little bit of their control to partner with marketing to then actually go build a true ABM program. So again, where I'm seeing a lot of companies struggle is that specific handoff. So a lot of what we do to get a company started, it's literally a 30-day project, is just what I call sales activation plays. And it's very simple. It's what is a trigger that is a repeatable trigger that we can then automate the segmentation of a specific list for all of our individual sellers. And then how do we have our sales team actually activate to go outbound based on that trigger? And my goal is that the trigger is so much of a no-brainer that sales is like, yeah, if you give me that list, I'll go after them. So like a couple of the quick examples that everybody knows about, but like somebody that's viewed your product pages and your pricing page and your schedule a call page, like if they view those pages on your website, they are likely somebody that would be a good fit. That would be somebody that is open to having a conversation with sales. They just didn't book in the first place. So like, how do you segment that list so that your sales team can go after them on a weekly basis? Another one is missed meetings. So somebody books a call. I'm fairly confident that most sellers do some level of follow-up, but they let it go after a couple of weeks because they want to reprioritize. Can you segment out that list and then on a quarterly basis, a quarter later, say, hey, it looks like you tried to book a call. We never connected last quarter. Is this thing still a priority for you right now? Were you able to solve the problem? And just like re-engaging on those missed meetings. Another one would be closed lost. And I heard this from another company. I thought it was genius. It's like a gate on their closed lost bucket. They pick an exact day to re-engage the closed lost. And again, you don't have to pick a day, but you have to either select an actual day on the calendar to re-engage or click NA. And then you can literally have an automation workflow within HubSpot or Salesforce that helps your sales team resurface those closed lost accounts. Another one would be customer win-back programs. So like after customer leaves, can you create a system and a process that is largely automated for list segmentation with great templates for outreach that then get your sellers to go back after customers that have previously lost you? So like those are just four that almost every B2B organization should have the ability to create a program around. And then the best programs that we work with customers on are like really specific and nuanced to their business and their business use cases. So I just recommend people look at their data flow and identify where is a specific action, not a lead metric, not a scoring model, but like what's a tangible thing that somebody does that we can then say, they did this thing. They're likely somebody that we should reach out to because they did this thing. And I'll be very clear. It's not like they opted in to get a piece of content. Like that should be a marketing email flow. That's fine. But like, what is the tangible action that somebody did that then indicates to us they are actually likely interested in having a conversation? Can we reach out to be helpful and support them into actually booking that call?
Love it. Okay. So there's some actual tangible things you can do. All right. So it sounds like you're using a lot of data to like inform these decisions. A big thing I get asked a lot is Well, firstly, people say we're not ready for ABM. Maybe we can dive into that a little bit. But firstly, like, when do you see your job being done and for companies to be able to really go hard at the, we can invest in technology and we can perhaps hire an account-based marketing manager and kind of build a more mature program. Is there a certain maturity that you see that people should start considering that more, or is it different each time?
I would say there's a couple of nuances to this. So I'll start with the blanket answer of, I think that most vertical SaaS companies should likely be running an account-based marketing program, because I've talked with companies, like I've got a client right now that serves the mortgage space, and they only provide a specific technology for mortgage lenders. So their use case and their technology is so specific that they said there's, and we can only serve the US. So they, by the nature of the company that they've built, they already know that their world of accounts, they said, is literally 5,000 companies that we can work with, period. Now there's multiple divisions within those companies, but like, we know the world of accounts that we can actually serve 5,000. We should probably be running some form of an account-based marketing strategy. Like, that is a reasonable number of accounts that we could go after. For me personally, I run a marketing consulting business and a services business. Like, my world of accounts is pretty significant because it's B2B companies that need to build an ABM program from the ground up. I am not industry specific, and spoiler alert, I don't even run ABM for myself because I don't think I'm at the appropriate stage to run ABM. I think that you need to have enough reps of customers that you've worked with to identify the specific industries and the specific sizes of companies that you work best with. So like, I think if you are not a very specific use case product that serves a very specific other kind of business, or that is in a regulated industry where by regulations you are limited to who you can serve, I think you should actually probably run more of a demand gen inbound marketing program to identify who are our best fit customers. And once you've identified your specific use case where you absolutely crush it with, for a specific industry, you build vertical specific ABM programs. So I really love to go after, again, vertical, that we can then create all of our content that's like, this is our retail vertical program, this is our SaaS vertical program. And again, you then build the framework for how do we engage an industry? How do we engage a specific vertical? And I think you can do all of that either with an outsourced partner. You can get somebody, like at that stage, you'd either have an outsourced partner or you'd have an ABM manager. I don't think you have both. And from a tech perspective, I wouldn't go buy new tech unless there is a very specific point in your process in which there's a gap and it's like, we literally can't do this without it. So prime example would be data sources. Like there's a guy on my team that's our head of strategy and ops, and he gave me this quick framework for how to build an ABM program of data, distribution, destination. Like, those are just the three things that you can think through. So like, if you're building an ABM vertical specific program and you don't have the data source that allows you to engage that industry, that's going to be a non-starter for you. So you need to solve that or try to build a different kind of program. The distribution piece, you can largely do with a lot of your existing technology. So can you do email marketing? Can you do outbound sequencing? Can you run LinkedIn ads natively without buying additional piece of technology? And then the destination. So what's the content we're using? If you have a website, you've got destination nailed. So that's how I think through it. And then once you've built that first program, that again, very vertical specific, using your existing tech stack, you look at what was really time consuming, what was the most effective channels that we used. And from there, you can then say, as we go to build the next vertical specific ABM program, as we go build a larger, whatever you want to build next, which I would stay vertical specific for quite some time, you buy the technology that allows you to optimize the existing framework that you've built. So it's not saying, let's go buy the tech and figure out how to use it, which, to be clear, I've had clients come inbound that said, we bought the full ABM tech stack saying we would figure out how to use it after we bought it. They weren't buying to solve a specific problem within their ABM program. They bought a silver bullet that didn't work. So when you build the framework and the program first, you identify your gaps, you identify the opportunities to optimize, and you buy technology to solve specific challenges within your overall process, not buying technology to build your process.
Love that. Yeah, look, I've been there, been burnt by it. I think I did the burning, maybe it's my fault. But I hear you get the process nailed down as best as possible and then really invest there. Very cool. I love the three D's, very easy way of remembering it. So I want to move on to you and your journey a little bit. I actually don't know this, but Scrappy ABM. Let's talk about that. How did that start?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I previously worked in an account-based marketing agency, and it was a 25-person boutique ABM agency that really did have some great tech partnerships and had a lot of great frameworks and processes. And that's where I would say I learned most of what I know about ABM. And what was really fun about that job is I was actually the marketing director for the agency. So I marketed marketing to marketers, which is like the best job. Literally, it was so much fun. But my job was to learn ABM and then teach ABM so that when they started to try to build it on their own, they would realize how hard it was and they would come buy from us. And I heard from my boss, because this company had been around for about 20 years at this point. So they knew their ICP, they knew their right fit customers, they had the processes and the products nailed. But what she said to me is, hey, Mason, I really need us to build an ABM program for ourselves so that we can go get the right fit customers. But you don't have an ABM platform. You don't have any ability, you have no budget, to be honest. You are the budget, Mason. you've got some tech, we can do some light sending, you've got a data enrichment platform, but what you have is fairly limited. And I was like, okay. So that was 3-4 years ago at this point that I started to build that first program. And I built it entirely through LinkedIn. So it was, I have on one screen a list of target accounts, on the other screen I have my LinkedIn profile, and I just went and connected with 100 people on LinkedIn every single week that were from my target account list. So my LinkedIn following was actually just my target account list to get it started. And I joined specific communities because the community cost $20 a month to get into the places where all the right decision makers were. And really just started to actually at that point, while I was getting into it, I started to build a podcast to have the opportunity to invite target accounts that cost $32 a month. So my overall tech and my overall budget was my salary. I had HubSpot. I had sales intel for data enrichment. And essentially, I just spent $20 a month to get into the peak community that was done by Sangram and Judd. I spent $32 a month on StreamYard and Spreaker for podcast hosting and distribution and doing live streaming. And I didn't pay for any LinkedIn premium or automation. So that was the first Scrappy ABM program that I built, because I was given the parameters of, we need an ABM program for ourselves. We have no budget. We have no tech. How do you get it done? And that was where I started. And then I just fell in love with doing it, because I was like, this is so, it's just so fun to have these constraints and to say, I understand that these are my constraints, but I still need to figure it out. So from there, I just try to continue to iterate on how do you build out more Scrappy programs like this that don't require any additional budget, that don't require any additional technology, but still drive the results. And then fast forward a few years, I've worked in a couple companies since then, and people just kept coming back to me for that need of, hey, I really need some thoughts and advice. So I've been hopping on calls with people for 2 years, just giving away free advice. And the breaking point for me was somebody actually messaged me and was like, I've loved your advice so much. I actually went and started my own consultancy using your advice, and I'm helping other companies do what you recommended I do. And I was like, wait, what? So when somebody else started using what I had been pitching out for years to build their own business, I was like, I just need to bet on myself. I should go do it. So I did.
Wow. That's powerful, man. I had no idea. Let's talk a little bit about some of the results that you got. Because obviously when you were doing this in the agency, and you've managed to do this for many people now, with such a low cost, do you have anything you can share on what you were able to achieve?
So the convoluted part to this is, the original agency was called Mojo Media Labs, and then ended up being acquired by a company called Gravity Global. Gravity Global is the world's most awarded B2B agency, and we were the ABM division of that. So I'll give the two. And if you go check out my LinkedIn, actually under my job experience, I outlined the exact results that we were able to get. So I'll just read it off real quick. For when I was at Mojo as marketing director, in a 1.5 year timeframe, we sourced 45 deals that were marketing sourced for $1.68 million. And then when you factor in headcount for myself, our RevOps person, our salesperson, and the full marketing budget, it ended up being about a 15x ROI. So again, just on marketing source, not talking about influence, not anything else, but like really solid there. And then as far as opportunities, we ended up sourcing 3.29 million. So again, from an opportunity sourcing perspective, very solid. And the close rate, obviously, on that at that point is a 59% close rate for marketing source deals. So
that is insane. Oh my God.
But so that's Mojo. And then with Gravity, it was actually really interesting. I stepped into a sales role for a time. I was director of growth. So I ran kind of both marketing and sales. So I was the figurehead for our marketing and I was selling, which was a really effective strategy. Ended up closing about 1.7 million in about a 6 month time frame because of all the education I had put out. Close rate was 37.5%. My average sales cycle was 40 days. So like very fast pipeline, really solid close rates. So like if you can, in an environment where it makes sense, like I was the ICP that stepped into a sales role for a short period of time that then helped close those deals. So collectively, when you put all that together, it ends up being in like a 2 year time frame, about $3 million that I personally sourced and delivered and had an overall 15x ROI on. So like that's the results that you can start to see.
That's astonishing. And you didn't have paid spend, you didn't have platforms to do any of this. This is just you.
I'm a really weird person in the ABM space. I'm not like, and I have someone on my team that can now run ads, but like I've personally never done a ton with ad spend. Like I've done some basic LinkedIn advertising, but like I would not claim any proficiency as a paid or performance marketer. Like my whole focus, I actually came up as a content marketer. So my whole focus has been, how do we create the right content that serves the audience? And then by the nature that I ran all the marketing at a HubSpot agency, like I needed to learn how to do operations. So I kind of self-taught ops and led the HubSpot account-based marketing HubSpot user group for about 2 years. So essentially all I was doing was just telling people, here's how you run ABM using HubSpot, no additional tools. So like I would very much so claim process. I'm not going to claim to be a marketing operations expert personally, but through processes, I've got good ops chops that then allow us to make sure that the content is getting in front of the right people in a way that can then be tracked and is activating the sales team. So again, when I say scrappy, everything that I'm outlining doesn't require additional budget. It just requires time, a good process, good content, and an understanding of where your audience lives.
Wow. And look, to be clear, we're not trying to say don't use a Sixth Sense or demand base. That they have, and all those lots of different tools, but they have their place. But it's pretty astonishing what you've been able to accomplish without needing a lot of that. I'm shocked in a pleasant way. So look, you've obviously worked very, very hard to get to where you are today. You're now running your own business. What did you have to do to get to where you are today? You've discussed a lot around like your journey and how you've gone through ABM, but people don't often see that the hard side of what does it take to get to running your own business?
All right. I lost you for a second. So you were asking, you're starting your own business. What do you have to do?
And oh, sorry, mate. My internet went off for some reason there. Have I got you back?
All good. We're back.
Yeah. So hang on. I'll put a marker in there. I'll put a marker in. Okay. Let's get back to it. So, all right. I'll jump in 3, 2, 1. So look, Mason, your journey clearly you're very successful. You've been part of agencies. You're now running your own business. You've seen a lot of amazing results without having to spend a lot. Now, getting to where you've got to today, most people underestimate how hard it is. Like, what have you had to do? Like, what have you had to go through to get to where you are today? Talk to me about some of the harder things.
I mean, for starters, this is my first business that I've ever personally run. So I am personally working through the balance of business dollars should feel different than personal dollars. Because like right now, you know, every dollar I generate at first felt like it was supposed to hit my own bank account, when in reality, I have to really think through it as just an allocation of resources. I remember I was listening to something from Alex Hormoz, and he said, you can tell the kind of business leader you're speaking to based on the level at which they speak. And if they're speaking entirely in allocation of resources, they are truly at the level of enterprise leadership. So that's been a really hard thing for me personally, because I've tried to be very financially literate and be wise with the money that I spend. But I'm also recognizing, like prime example, earlier this week, I had a contractor and I was keeping back some of the the work so that I could quote unquote pay him for specific work. I was like, this is going to take me 15 hours of my life. And I only have so much time in my life. I can pay him literally $1,000 to get the work done. I still have a nice healthy profit margin for managing the relationship and managing him. Like, I don't need to touch the actual work itself. He's got great processes. He's better at it than I am because he does it all the time. Let me just give it over to him. And I just bought back 15 hours of my life to go do stuff like this to help generate more business that I can go and develop better processes and better products that I can then go and market and sell. So like just the transition from all the money that comes in, if it hit my personal bank account, it was ours. Like that was a wage. That's how that worked. Now it's the appropriate allocation of resources. So that's been something that, and like really thinking through a lot on cash flow, I really want to do right by my contractors. So like maybe I make this as a mistake, but I will often pay a contractor before I've been officially paid because I've got the margin within my bank account to ensure that I maintain the relationship with the contractors. Because for me, my goal is I don't want to lose any clients, but I recognize a client will likely stay with me for 2 years. I want my contractors to be with me for as long as they want to continue to work with me. So if I take care of my contractors, they'll take care of the clients and everybody will be better. So those are some of the things that have been like really hard to have the mindset shift around. It has nothing to do with actually account-based marketing or anything like that. I'm familiar with the agency space. I've done this a couple times. The transition has been owning everything and cash flow management. And like I could do all of it, but it would take me 100 hours a week. And I have a 5-month-old that's really cute. And my wife wants some support actually raising our child. So it would be better to buy back time by outsourcing to contractors that can do some of the more time consuming things. And I can focus on the highest impact opportunities and also be present for my family.
Mate, I think you were good. You realized that early on. I wish I'd realized that sooner, particularly when I started ReachDesk, because I think my son was born 6 months into our journey and I didn't prioritize that as much. I learned it later. I can't get that time back. But when I had second baby, I was like, give it to other people. There's that concept of giving away your Legos. And I think it really ties back into the like happy people are successful. Successful people aren't necessarily happy. And if you can find that balance, that's awesome, man. Love it. So it sounds like things are, you're really learning how to run the business. Have there been any like moments where you're like, oh my God, this is way harder than I expected? Was it like a single moment that, some people go through self-doubt or anything like that? Has that happened to you yet? Or has it been pretty good?
Oh yeah. No, that's definitely happened. Cause there was 1 week, it was pretty early on. I had a client that, we were talking through a bunch of stuff and they were like, we want to do 24 webinars. We want to do a podcast. We want your help putting on a virtual conference. And like, this was before Scrappy Avian was like formally launched publicly. So like those early stages, just like, if I can do it, I will take the contract because I need the revenue to support the actual building of the inevitable business. So I put 150 grand in closed one based on everything that we had scoped out. And I sent over the first invoice and he was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what I'll be able to pay this. I was like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, I have no money in our accounts. Like, I need some other things to close before I can pay you. And I was like, I cannot, this is too early for me to like make a bet like this and like just hope. So like I went ahead and quote unquote fired the client. And in that same week I had another deal. It's about a $50,000 deal. So again, at this point, I think that we had closed $300,000 in revenue for at that point. So again, this is like the first couple of months. And again, 150 of that was associated to one client. And I got the legal language from that vendor, or for that client. And, they essentially were just like going to own my business, and they were a publicly traded multi, I think they were a $1 billion company. So like I was really wanting to work with them. I was going to make a massive impact, hopefully. But when I looked at the legal language, I was like, I cannot be owned like this by one client at this stage. So in the same week, I had to unclose one, $150,000 I had earmarked, and I had to say no to a $50,000 contract that was already in, like, we had already gone through like a lot of redlining. And I just kind of finally said, I can't be owned. I got to step away from this. So yeah, like 1 week, I thought I had 200 grand and I suddenly didn't, and went back to like 150 and closed one. And luckily those clients were really solid and we had more behind it that inevitably closed a couple weeks later. So 6 weeks later, I was back up to 300 grand. But yeah, that was like, that was a week where I was like, should I just go like back in house and get a job? And my wife was like, no, I hate it. Like, but don't wrong. Like, this is hard. Like,
you know, I suppose I'm laughing in a sense because I know what that feels like. I've been there. I know lots of people that have made it to that point and have thrown in the towel. How do you keep going through those moments? Like, what was it that was like, you're still going now, you're very successful.
Yeah.
How did you keep going?
For starters, I would not yet claim very successful. I think I've got a long road ahead. I think for where I am, I've enjoyed what I've done so far, but I mean, let's call it what it is. I'm like 7 months into this thing as a full-time gig. I've got a long, long, long road before I would even ever claim true success. And the second side of it is I firmly believe in the problem that we're solving. And there was like, when I work with the right kinds of clients, I mean, I have a client that I can tangibly say in 6 months, we generated them $800,000 in revenue. Just very tangibly. I know that. And it's through podcasting. So like I helped them sell their podcast sponsorships. We sold like, it was $400,000. I don't know why I doubled that in my mind. $400,000 in sponsorships. It'd be amazing if it was 800. And he said, yeah, my business is also getting new clients. It's like, I don't know the exact revenue on those new clients, but I can say 6 months we've been doing podcasting. They generated $400,000 in revenue. Plus it's become a new business engine for his business. Those are the right kinds of clients. It's like, I know the problems we're solving are very viable. They change the lives of the clients that we work with. And the other thing is just like the contractors that I have come from really hard work environments where they weren't appreciated. So like I get to build a business in which we solve a very viable problem that helps a lot of people. And I get to create an environment in which my team members can thrive because they're appreciated for the value that they bring. And I also just see the long-term benefit of this. Like I'm not making a ton of money right now. I'm like very intentionally keeping our expenses low to keep as much cash in the business. But like this is how I'm going to be able to hopefully make a big impact in our industry and help a lot of people. And then inevitably, like I'll be able to make sure that my family is always provided for. I think this is like the transition in a lot of ways for like changing my family tree. So like it's all of those things combined where I'm like, if I do this right, this is how I really make a massive impact in our industry and my family's life, in the lives of our contractors, in the lives of our clients. Like it's, there's just so much positive that one bad week shouldn't stop what we're already starting to build.
Oh, mate, I love that. And that's why I think I'm going to say it now. I think you're going to be wildly successful because you've got that drive, you've got that why and that purpose. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Scrappy ABM brings in the future. Sure, okay, mate. So. Well, look, let's see is what I've always said. We're at the quick fire round. So this is real quick. And then I'm going to ask you for a final piece of advice for those listening. But I was asked the same question. If you could have a drink with anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
Such a cheesy answer. But like I'm pretty open that I'm a believer and I'd probably love a good cup of coffee with Jesus just to like understand a lot of what he was thinking through in some of his final days. So like, I know it's cheesy, but it's the honest truth. So that's, I'm going to give you two. So that's like past. And then honestly, I would love to sit down for like an hour to hour and a half with like Alex Hormozi, Cody Sanchez, or Justin Welsh, because the three of them have had incredible careers and then transitioned into building personal brands. And for me, at least, they've taken over the internet in like a 2-year time frame. And I'm like, I need to figure out how you did that. So like, those are kind of like the two sides for that answer.
I've never had either of those. So thank you for that. Now let's focus on ABMers. What's the dumbest thing you think account-based marketers are doing right now? And what should they be doing differently?
I think the dumbest thing that they're doing is trying to start the program build without getting the sales buy-in or the executive leadership buy-in. And they just kind of build it on their own and then say, hey, look at the cool thing that we built versus, hey, we're going to go build this thing. And kind of in that, they try to build multiple programs, but they try to build the full thing all at once. And I just think you need to build it like a playbook at a time that then stacks together into a full program versus let me go build the full thing from beginning to end and see if it works. Like just small plays along the way that build into a full program are a way that you can prove quick wins along the way.
Yeah, I love that, man. It's such good advice, and I think it will forever be good advice, because I just see people doing it over and over again. Maybe you'll reduce the pool and you'll get more people doing it right from the start. Is there a company right now, and just in general, that you think could be a future game changer that you've got your eye on?
Yeah, Audience Plus. I think that's probably not a surprising answer, but I've been fortunate to have a number of conversations with JK, who's their head of marketing, and they just hired Todd Clauser. And again, if you think about the amount of interest and revenue that they were able to generate, interest they were able to generate pre-product, like just around the concept of that you're a B2B company, you should be an owned media company. And when they went to actually launch a product, the amount of revenue they were able to generate very quickly, because they had done such a good job of building interest and building the problem through their own owned media, I think is very clearly going to be a game changer for the way that people, because we've heard it a lot of like, every B2B company should be a media brand. And like, they're actually doing it and helping people do it in a way that I've not seen another company do well.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, it's hard. It's hard to be a media brand. I've been watching them too, and what they pulled off is pretty amazing. Okay, look, just final piece of advice that I really appreciate you joining us. Before you go, like, if you can, in one sentence, what would you suggest to like go-to-market professionals who are really trying to break through the noise right now? What would you tell them to do?
This is not something that I have done this of. Let me follow all the shiny objects. Like, I'll be very transparent. In my last role before I launched Scrappy ABM, I was actually not super successful because I wasn't the right fit for the organization. And I tried to do way, way, way too much as opposed to just focusing on a few fundamentals. I think right now, a lot of go-to-market professionals have seen less tech, less headcount, and less resources overall. So this is the time to go back to fundamentals before you try to do major experiments. Like, do you have a closed loss program? Do you have a customer win back program? Do you have a pipeline acceleration program that are very basic, that are very simple, but are very repeatable? If you don't, that's where I'd start. That was more than one sentence, but I think that's hopefully helpful context.
That's good enough, man. It's such good advice. It's such good advice. Mate, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for being so open, so transparent. You're a very humble guy. I'm going to say it. You are successful, and you will continue to be so. I really wish you all the best with your business. I know it's your first venture, but thank you for giving up your time, man. Where can people find you? Well, how can they find out about Scrappy ABM? Obviously, you've got your own podcast.
Yeah, I feel a little bit, if you've watched the movie Spaceballs, I feel a little bit like Spaceballs sometimes because everything is Scrappy ABM. So like, I have Scrappy ABM the website, Scrappy ABM the podcast. If you look up Scrappy ABM on LinkedIn, I'm the first thing that should appear. Everything I wear is Scrappy ABM now. So like, if you just look up Scrappy ABM, not Snappy. I just want Snappy. No, Scrappy with a C. I should pop up, and I try to post on LinkedIn at least once a day. Sometimes I post upwards of 2 to 3 times. Podcast releasing 2 episodes a week. And the playbooks are not yet live. I had released some Google Doc playbooks, and those are helpful. But I'm now like truly designing them out, turning them into editable, tangible templates and PDFs so that you can then go and take the playbooks that we build for our clients and run them on your own. So that will be coming. I don't have a firm timeline, but if you just keep your eye on the podcast, if you keep your eye on the LinkedIn profile, when those playbooks are out, you'll be the first to know.
Love it. Well, look, thank you again, Mason. This has been a real treat. And thank you for everyone listening and watching. This has been another episode of The Antidote.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.